And we're going to talk a little bit about the Indian of the Meraglim. It starts, Parsha begins with the Shiluach HaMeraglim. And the Torah goes out of its way to say that when the Meraglim was sent out, Kulam Anoshim, Rosh Ibnei Yisrael Hema. All of the Meraglim that went out were actually Manhige Yisrael. These were leaders of Klal Yisrael. I mean, just to give an idea of the Chever that were there, you're talking about Yeshua Ben Nun. Yeshua Ben Nun is, and Yeshua Ben Nun wasn't even the highest one. Rashi says that they're all mentioned according to their level of Chashivas. And Yeshua Ben Nun is not on top. So you can imagine, these are very great, very Choshev and Manhige Yisrael. And the end is that this was a disastrous conclusion of the Meraglim. Not only a disaster for the time, but it was a historical disaster. Till today, we suffer from that episode of the Meraglim. The Yimei Mitzorim, which begin in, around the corner, hopefully it should be in the Sapach Latoiva, the Yimei Mitzorim follow the Tkufa of the Meraglim. The 40 days preceding the Yimei Mitzorim. It starts with the Shiluach HaMeraglim. And Tisha B'Av is basically the day that the Meraglim came back. And Chazal tell us, the Psikta and the Halkut Shemini, that Hashem said, because you cried, Atem B'chisim B'chiyah Shel Chinom, you cried for no reason, you'll have reason to cry. That's what Tisha B'Av evolved into. So Ad HaYom Hazeh, Tisha B'Av is a direct outcome of the Chet HaMeraglim. So you definitely can't wrap your head around it, that's for sure. It's too big of an Indian to wrap your head around. But what's clear is that these people, when they left, were G'day Le'elam. These were great men. At the end, Chazal say, they stooped so low that they made an acknowledgement, Afilu Balabayas and Yocholoi Tzikelev Mishon. They were questioning Hashem being able to do it for them, even. So one Chazal calls it Kofru B'yikil. Whatever it is, you're talking about a very severe level of kfir. So even if we would be able to chap that something happened, something snapped. It was a traumatic event. You know, if you look at current events, the administration now freed Bo Bergdahl for 5 Rishon Gemurim Reitzchim. And that is a whole political debate, whether this was for the right reasons or for the wrong reasons. So the Eid Echot Kosher, Eid Echot Neman Bisurin, who's always believed, Susan Rice, who only talks the truth, she says that he served in honor and distinction, the soldier that they, now already they're starting to be chayzer a little bit. Not such honor, not such distinction. He's actually, at the very least, a deserter. And at the very worst, he's part of the Taliban. Right? He still has not spoken to his parents yet. Some say that it's part of it is what he's holding. But again, so yesh toshim l'shvach v'yesh toshim l'gnai. Some say this is what he was, and this is. Some say, listen, he snapped. It was a tragic, it was a traumatic event. He was locked in cages there with them. He snapped. It's possible. I think any bardas has to reserve judgment on any human being that's stuck with these behemoths for 5 years. Could be. Can't pass it on him today, what he is. Okay. Honor and distinction, we could pass him. He didn't serve in honor and distinction. Whether he's a mushchas lagamri or not, that we have to wait. That's not kapaskind. But things could happen when you have a traumatic event. So you could maybe think, knew. They went to Eretz Yisrael, something snapped. They got scared. L'havdil, the Meraglim, I don't want to put the Meraglim on any, you know, on any track to even make an analogy, but they were had a traumatic experience, and they snapped. But that's not the case. If we look at Chazal, we see that's not the case. First of all, we have Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, the Meir Rosh Yeshiva, who proves that every single day of the 40 days that the Meraglim went was Bechet, because they were punished. Yom L'shon. We were punished 40 years in the Midbar for each day that the Meraglim traveled. That's the whole 40 days. That spans all the whole time, from when they left. So Zohar B'chaim Shmulevitz, the whole thing was Bechet. Because otherwise we wouldn't be Nenash for it. So you see, the whole 40 days was Bechet. And he has a whole shmuz on this. Besides for that, we have another Maimah Chazal. It says, Vayetzu Vayavoyu, Makish Piyosom Liyitziyosom. And Chazal tell us, Ma Biyosom Beitzoro. Just like when they came back, it was bad. Af Yitziyosom Beitzoro. When they left, it was bad. So there was something bad. So on the one hand, these are Gedolei Olam. These are Mamish leaders. On the other hand, Chazal are telling us that there's something very bad here. So how do we bridge these two ideas that such a terrible chet, such a terrible Eitzah, and yet such great men? So it must have been an area of unclarity that they fell into. But they fell into it right away. They didn't fall into it after they went. They fell into it from the inception. From when they left, they fell into the hole. This hole, which of course got worse. But from when they left. The Pasuk says here in the Parsha that Moshe tells them, "Vischazaktem ulakachtem mipri haaretz." You should go ahead and strengthen yourselves and take from the fruit of the land. Yeah. So there's a lot of kashas. In the past we discussed what big chizik did they get from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. The Zohar HaKadosh is mashma, that they got some kind of a chizik. If it's chazaktem, they got chizik from the land. Right? What chizik do you get from fruit? What kind of strength did that give them? We spoke about that. I don't want to go into that right now. I'm sure those of you that were here last year remember that, what the pshat was. But then, the parsha pshat is you have to strengthen yourself. Parsha to carry the fruit. To carry the fruit, you have to. So I have a kasha here that Rabbi Shu Mikotna asks. He says like this, V'tzorach bio. What strength do you need
to carry the fruit?
Okay, they were big fruit, but these were big men. These were no slouches. These were powerful men. So good, they're not carrying small grapes, they're carrying big grapes. Okay. The Gemara talks about how they carried it, the Shnayim B'moit, and exactly how they carried it, the Sugis and Seita. Nishkefalach. Not so terrible. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to say it's chazaktim. There's a fascinating medrash where the medrash discusses the rejection of the fruit not wanting to be taken by the Meraglim. The fruit fought off the Meraglim. It's hard for us to understand that. But the truth is that in the Bria, in the creation, the creation wants Ratzon Hashem to be seen through. Okay. And there's countless Mamore Chazal supporting this idea that the Bria, the actual Bria, wants to do Ratzon Hashem. Hashemayim Mesapim Kvoyel, Masa Yodov Magadol Okia, Yem Yabia Imel, Laila Lechavidos. The whole world is there to be, that's what Sefer Shir is all about, right? The Bria is there to be Mamala Ratzon Hashem. And therefore the Bria, and those are all the stories we have in Chazal, where, for instance, remember we spoke about that Shaila in Ashkelon. We had the guy from Lev La'achem, this I mentioned to you years ago. There was a fellow from Lev La'achem, he was doing Kiruv. He went to Ashkelon in Eretz Yisrael. He was running like seminars in Ashkelon. And this was during the Scud, when the Scuds were coming in daily. Hundreds of Scuds were hitting Eretz Yisrael from coming in from the Gaza. And Ashkelon was one of the points that were being hit. And he was doing his Kiruv, and he asked Reb Chaim before the when he went whether he should continue doing his Kiruv. And Reb Chaim told him, Shluch Mitzvah, and it's not Shchir Hezekah Baruch Hashem. The Eibush will see after the Shmai, it has been unbelievable. Shmira, he should continue. Anyway, he went. In one of his trips to go to Ashkelon, in middle, as he got into the city, the sirens went off. So he had to get out of his car. So he pulled over the side of the car. So I mentioned the story, he killed the dog. Remember the story? You were here when I said the story. He killed the dog. He went off the side of the road, he killed the dog. It turned out the dog was somebody's pet that was on the side of the road, and when he pulled over, he hit the dog. And by the time he got out of the car, there was a tate and a mama and the children around the dead body of the dog. Mamish Bavelis. Anyway, he felt terrible. He explained to the family, and he took their name, and they understood. I mean, it was the siren went off. They understood what happened. And he kept in touch with them. Not only did they not have tainus on him, but they were mispoiled from his sensitivity. That he followed up, and he went to be Menachem Oval. They asked him to start giving classes in their house. Could you imagine? That's how they got connected to Yiddishkeit. And he started giving Chumash classes in their house. And it grew that they needed a Beis Medrash, this class that they started. So they opened up in their miklat. A lot of people in Eretz Yisrael, they own the miklat on the lower level. This family, converted that into a Beis Medrash. And they made it mamish into a mokum teruk. But they had one request. When they were dedicating it, they wanted it to be called Beis Digun. Because the dog that died's name was Digun. And they wanted to name the Beis Medrash after the dog. It should be called Beis Digun. So I said, when I read the story then, I said, Baruch Hashem, this happened in Eretz Yisrael. Because in America, it would have been Beis Snoopy. Beis Digun, at least, it sounds like it's powerful. This doesn't feel like. So this younger man, he was never confronted with such a question. To dedicate a Beis Medrash in the name of a dog. So he went to Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim told him it's a Beferish Yerushalmi, it's a Psikte. It's brought down in the Ritva and Yume. That Reb Yechanan, one of the Amiroim in the Gemara, his name is Reb Yechanan ben Ptura. Reb Yechanan from the cow. How do you call an Amor in the name of, this is not Reb Yechanan Rish Lakish, it's a different Reb Yechanan. How do you call Reb Yechanan and associate him to a cow? The son of the cow, what's it? So the Yerushalmi brings down the Psikte that this Yechanan was a guy, he was a Jew. And this Jew, he was a girl. Then he became an Amoira. He bought a cow. And Shabbos, the cow would just sit and not do anything. He bought the cow from a Jew. So he went back to the Jew. And the Yerushalmi says, when he went back to the Jew, he said, what's going on? I want my money back. Because one day a week, this cow doesn't work. He said, no. This cow still thinks he's by me. I explained to the cow that when he was by me, there was a mitzvah, Hashem wanted it to rest. But now it's by you, there's no shvisas behemoth. He went to the behemoth's ear and he said, he tells the behemoth the ma'isa. And the behemoth picked itself up and started working. The guy said, if this is zu teura, I'm going to be megayer. In Megayer, he became an Amoira, and they called him Ben Peturah. Right? So Reb Chaim said, what do you see from here, from the Yerushalmi? That if an animal affected spirituality, it could be integrated into Kedusha. So you could call it Beis Digun. So the Taka called it Beis Digun. So that's what it is. Actually, I think it was Igud, not Digun, but anyway, whatever it was the name of the dog. Digun Kada was not Zohar. But anyway, Lamaisa, what do you see? What's the idea? The idea is that the Bria wants to do what Hashem wants. The Bria is programmed that Ratzon Hashem should be Miskayim. By Eliyahu Bar HaKalma, that's also Beferish Chazal. By Eliyahu Bar HaKalma, when they were trying to prove that Hashem versus the Nevi'e Habal, so Nevi Habal brought a korban. It says the behemoth didn't want to do it. The behemoth didn't want to be used by the Baal. The behemoth held back from being used. Says Rabbi Yeshua Mikotna, the fruit here, because the Meraglim wanted to use it for the wrong reason. The Meraglim should have come back and said, look how great the fruit are. Instead, the Meraglim said, you see how strange the fruit are? That's how strange the people are. You see how overbearing the fruit are? That's how overbearing the people are. Right? So they use the fruit to go against Ratzon Hashem. So the fruit rejected. And they had to fight the fruit v'schazaktem. They had to fight the fruit. U'lekachtem mipri haaretz. If they would have taken the fruit for the proper reason, the fruit would have accommodated them. But they were taking the fruit for the wrong reason. So the fruit became a rejectionist. The fruit rejected. The fruit didn't want to do it because they wanted to use the fruit in the wrong way. Now, just want to continue with this thought and then we'll get back to it.
Moshe knew all this and he gave you...
So Rabbi Yeshua Mikotna says in his piece, he says, so how could Moshe tell them to go against Ratzon Hashem? V'schazaktem u'lekachtem? Well, Moshe is telling them to fight the fruit. How could this be? How could this be that more than what you're asking, besides what you're asking, how could Moshe tell them v'schazaktem? So I'm going to get back to that question. The parasha continues, and the parasha talks about the Mekoshesh, the fellow that was Mechal Shabbos. There's a very, very clear contrast between the Mekoshesh and the Mekala. These are two incidents that happened in the Midbar where somebody got Misa. One was the Mekala, who cursed Hashem, and Moshe went to ask Hashem and Hashem Paskint, and the Mekoshesh also. Moshe went to Bereshit to ask. Both of them were Chayiv Skila. But if you look at the Pesukim, there's a very clear contrast between the two. By the Mekoshesh, it says, Vayirgimu oisoi ba'avonim. They stoned him with many stones. Not one stone. If you look at the Makala, it says, Vayigim Oisoy Evan, one stone. Right? Say, with all the Mepharshim Hestakash. But obviously, the Torah had a reason why it switched this from that. There must be a Chesh. So I'm going to give share with you a Machshava which connects to this Chazaktim Lakachtim and Prioritz, and it also connects to the final Parsha of Tzitzis, where the Torah tells us, and then it says, Akon of Psil Techeles. So Chazal tell us that the parasha of Tzitzis was given as a kapora for the chet of the Meraglim. So everybody asks, what's the shaychas from the Tzitzis to the Meraglim? There's many explanations. This is Fasemes, Chidush Yerim. What's the connection between the two? So I want to share with you an idea of what the connection could be, and this would answer that. We find that there's an issel by tzitzis to put in a blue dye as a substitute to the tchelis. If you look at Rashi at the end of the parasha, it says, Ani Hashem l'kechem, sheitzis yaschem eotz mitzrayim. That's how parasha's tzitzis ends. So Rashi brings down the chazal, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is usually found by a mitzvah or an avera where you're going against Hashem, and nobody knows. You're doing it in hiding. So Hashem says, you can't fool me. Ani Hashem. So here, Ani Hashem, what's Ani Hashem here? Since this is either you're wearing or you're not. What do you... So Rashi brings down the Chazal, Ani osud lipora mimi shetoyle kolilu bevigdei vametchelesim. That's how the Chazal end the parasha of Tzitzis. I, Hashem, am going to punish the fellow that puts in blue into his tzitzis and says it's tchelis. And Hashem goes on to say, I'm going to get him. I'm going to snatch him. Parash. What's so terrible? Okay, it's tchelis. The Mishnah Paskins in Menachos, ha-tchelis tenim akavis alova. You don't need tchelis. You could be yetzir. We all yetzir tzitzis without tchelis. It's an extra mitzvah. It's not makiv. Right? Most of us don't wear, I mean, some people have the tchelis today. Right? Most of us don't wear tchelis. They've spoken to me many times as some people who part of this organization that have the tchelis. I tell them, listen, coming to the wrong party. You go to Reb Chaim. If you convince Reb Chaim Kanievsky it's tchelis, I will put it on at that moment. So Reb Chaim puts it on, I'm next. Right on line to put on the tchelis. Reb Yashiv was alive then too. I said, go to Reb Yashiv. They said, yeah, we went and he hears. I said, is he wearing tchelis? I also hear. We all hear. Is he wearing tchelis? If Reb Yashiv is not wearing tchelis, if Reb Chaim is not wearing tchelis, Reb Meish is not wearing tchelis, I'm not wearing tchelis. When they wear tchelis, I wear tchelis. So hearing is gevaldik. That's hearing. So Lamaisa, big deal. So the guy is putting on, but again, I have no tainus on those that wear. They feel that this tchelis, want to be makayim the mitzvah, and they feel they have, okay, how can you have tainus? The yid wants the makayim the mitzvah, Hashem. We had the Regina did it also. Throughout history, we had different kufis. We're very chashav yidin, put on tchelis, you know, which they felt was tchelis. And the fact alone that you see that each opinion has been struck down shows you today's tchelis is not the tchelis from the Regina. And I suspect there'll be another tchelis. Right? Ultimately, the Eibush will be Meir Tzedek, will bring us the chelozim. We'll know for sure that this is the tchelis. But the fact is that if somebody is not wearing tchelis, it's nishkefalach. He still gets a mitzvah of tzitzis. He's not over the issur of wearing four-corner beged without tzitzis. That's the chiddush of tchelis in the makom of Zalov. Otherwise, how are you allowed to wear a four-corner garment? You have to wear different, right? That's the chiddush. You're wearing a four-corner garment, needs tzitzis. You're not wearing tchelis, but you still have tzitzis. It's not makom. So if that's the case, so then why is Hashem hunting down this guy? Ani Hashem! I'm going to get him! Not only that, and Ani Hashem over here is different than every Ani Hashem. Here Hashem gets very specific. He tells the guy, don't question me. Don't question me. Ani Hashem shevchanti bein tipe shel b'chol l'tipe she'ene shel b'chol. Ani osed lipora mimi shetei l'chol. Hashem gets very graphic. He says, when I was in Mitzrayim by Makos Bechoros, and I hunted down every firstborn, I was able to separate, and Mitzrayim wasn't a country that was so frum. So to get the right Bechor from who, from what, it's not so posh. It's not like a nice family. Nice mishpocha k'desh. So Hashem says, Ani Hashem shivchanti, bein tipe shebchol, tipe shene shebchol, I and Mitzrayim differentiated between a tipe that was a bechor and a tipe that wasn't. I'm going to hunt him down. Ani Yosef Lipo, I'm going to get this guy with the blue, and I'll show him. What's going on? What's behind this? Yeah, well, here there's a reason also, because here it's talking about Yitzis Mitzrayim as well. So it's Asher Tzitzis, it's a different context. But it's interesting that Rashi brings this point that I separated between the Tipi Shobcha. So I want to share with you a simple idea, which I think this is maybe the idea that's really behind the whole parasha of the Meraglim. There's no question that when we look through all the Chazals, the Chet of the Meraglim was along the lines that they thought that B'derech HaTeva, they're not going to be able to make it into Eretz Yisrael. And that explains a lot of the whole the theory behind the Meraglim. Right, because the Meraglim, how could anybody question Hashem after being in the Midbar and living L'malam min HaTeva, Anani HaKovet, the Be'er of Miriam, the Mon min HaShemayim, the Slav, how could you question Hashem? What are you questioning? So the answer is, the Meraglim weren't questioning Hashem per se. They were questioning how in Derech HaTeva will we be able to overpower the Anshei Eretz Yisrael? How could it be B'derech HaTeva that we could do it? That was their question. They knew that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a new set of laws, a new Shulchan Aruch, Kibush. By the Yam Suf, there wasn't Kibush. There's Hashem Yilochem Lochem, V'atem Tachrishim. By the Yam, we didn't have to conquer anybody. Hashem did it. In Mitzrayim, we didn't have to do anything. Hashem did it. But now we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Now we have to do it. V'yirishta. V'yishavtem bo. We have to do this stuff. So now the Meraglim was saying, okay, now we're not looking at it like the Midbar. Now we're going to look at it like, okay, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. We have to conquer the land. So now they were looking at it from Derech HaTeva. When they said, Kvayochel, Hashem can't take his kelim out, they said, B'derech HaTeva. Of course, Hashem can do whatever he wants. But this is not going to be Derech HaTeva. We don't see any way naturally that we're going to be able to take over the land of Eretz Yisrael. They saw the Anokim, they saw the giants, they saw the Betzut. We can't do it. Okay. So really, the Chet of the Meraglim was not seeing the integration of Yad HaShem in the Teva, of how the Teva plays along for Hashem's Ratzon. The Teva's only there to be Mamala Ratzon Hashem. So there's no such thing as Teva. The Teva's there, Mamala Ratzon Hashem. The cow doesn't move on Shabbos because that's Ratzon Hashem. Moshe told the Meraglim, try to pull off those fruit for the wrong reason. You won't even be able to. This chazakta. You're going to see the fruit. Learn from the fruit. If you see even the fruit is responding to Hashem, so you will also see the same thing. Stop questioning. Stop questioning. So Moshe was telling them, learn from the fruit. The fruit is there. Even the fruit is singing along. Parsha Shira. Even the fruit is singing along the Perek Shira. So imagine you, when you go to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Don't be afraid. That was Moshe's Musa Haskel. I believe the Mekoshis was L'Shem Shemayim, this God. Chazal tell us that. The Mekoshis was L'Shem Shemayim. He didn't want a Mechal Shabbos. He did it. He gave up his life that Klai Yisrael should learn the lesson. Because of that, his life, the Bria itself, was fighting that he should stay alive. Because he didn't go against Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, it took Avonim. He didn't die quickly. He didn't die like that. There's a remez in the Pasuk. There's a remez in the Pasuk that there was resistance. The Mekala went against Hashem's Ratzon. It's Ba'oven Omeis. The Mekala, the Bria, went along with his Misa. Because he went against the Ratzon Hashem. You come to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was made up of families and then many, many Bechorim all over the place. Because the Mitzrayim were Shtufei Zimim. They were the worst Arayas in the world. Elvas Oretz. So there were Bechorim everywhere. Okay, now. Makas Bechorim, Hashem said that after Makas Bechorim, Pari will send them out. There's two ways to look at it. One is look at it, Derech HaTeva. Listen, if every firstborn dies in Egypt, so they're going to get haunted, they'll get scared, and they'll send out the Bechorim. They'll send out Klai Yisrael. Teva. I don't mean teva, it's not teva, makas b'choras, but it's a teva reaction. It's a teva reaction. The other way, look at it now. The same Hashem who hardened Pari's heart till now said that after makas b'choras, Pari will leave. Now, let's take tzitzis. Why do you have tchelas in your tzitzis? Well, why do you have tchelas? So you have tchelas because tchelas is doim l'yam. Tchelas is similar to the ocean. And the ocean is similar to the rekia. The ocean is similar to the sky. And the sky is similar to the sapir of the kisei hakovet. And therefore, when you look at your tzitzis, you'll remember the ocean, which will start a trend of events in your mind, a chain of thinking of events. You're going to think about the sea, you'll think about the sky, you'll think about the kisei hakovet. Now, there's two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is teva, nature. It's nature. It's nature. And therefore, you look at this, you see that. So the scientist comes in and he says, listen, this is all natural. You look at the blue and it makes a psychological effect on you when you think about the ocean. You meditate. And then the ocean and the sky and the kisei hakovet, and there's a psyche. There's a psyche in there that's working. If that's the case, the scientist says, I have great news. I came up with the same blue. It's a natural reaction. It's the same blue. It's similar to the ocean, similar to the rekia, kisei hakovet. Done. The one who puts blue in his beged is not just a question he's not being makayim mitzvos tchelis. It's not just a question he has the wrong tchelis. His hashkofa is krum. The one who puts in the blue into his tzitzis says, you know what? It's natural. It's not the bria doing what Hashem is telling it to do, responding to the shechina. It's natural. So Hashem said you should put the chalazin. Big deal, put another blue, substitute it. Get the same color. It's cheaper. Economics. Right? Do it this way. See, he's denying that the teva is integrated with the Ratzon Hashem. He's saying, you know what? It's a natural reaction. And any blue could do it. Any blue that's similar to that. Now, in Mitzrayim, the Bukharim that died had nothing to do with the Bukharim that they even knew were Bukharim. People who nobody knew were Bukharim died. They didn't even know why they were dying. It almost confused the picture. Vayomu Mitzrayim kulonu meisim. They didn't even know why. Turned out this guy was a Bukhar from Yukul, not from this guy. This guy was his 10th kid, but Yukula, on the other side of Mitzrayim, he impregnated this lady. For him, it was a Bukhar. People, so the Bukharim that died in Mitzrayim weren't even Bukharim that we could even logically explain were Bukharim. And yet, that's what triggered Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? Makas Bukharim wasn't a natural reaction. It was the debris responding to what Hashem said. The reason why Pari sent us out after Makas Bukharis wasn't a natural reaction. It was debris responding to Ratzon Hashem. Says Hashem, I, Hashem, who separated from the Tipa Bukhar, not Bukhar Mitzrayim, which proves that it's debris responding to Hashem, I will pay back this guy who didn't learn that. And he puts in blue and says the world is natural. And that's why this is the biggest tikkun to the Chet HaMeraglim. Because the Chet HaMeraglim was not seeing the bria following Ratzon Hashem, and the tcheles is the tikkun to that chet. Okay. Absolutely. That's that.